Delighted to have you with us this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and open with us. We're going to be looking at some stories that are in the Bible that help us to see something so very vital for each and every one of us. The account that is written for us and that was read for us a few moments ago in the book of Luke chapter 10, there is a lawyer, an expert in the law of Moses, an individual who spends his time in the law of Moses, who raises a question to Jesus. And the question that he raises is because he is trying to put Jesus to the test. You see, he is still trying to figure out, is this man the Messiah? Is this man what he is claiming to be? Is this man the one that we are to look for? And perhaps he may have even already made up his mind about Jesus and had already made up his mind that he was not the Messiah and was in this case trying to put him to the test in order to expose him to others. But whatever the reason, his attitude toward the question that Jesus replies with regard to his question would probably not be like ours would have been. Because we recognize Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. We recognize Jesus to be the author of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We recognize that he would be the one who would know everything that is written in that book, in all of Scripture, because he himself was the one who had written it for us, or who had spoken it for us. So when the man says, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus' reply to him was, "How do you read it? What do you understand it to be saying?" He had no hesitation in telling Jesus what he thought it said, what he thought it meant. You and I might have a different attitude. Because if Jesus were to ask us, "How do you read the Bible? How are you reading it?" There might be all kinds of emotions that would go through each and every one of us. Have I read it enough? Do I know the answer to this question? Have I read the Bible's answer to it? Am I going to get it right? We might have all kinds of fear and intimidation in responding to Jesus' question of, "How do you read it? And what do you understand it to be saying?" This lawyer got it right. This lawyer answered it correctly. But that's not really what I want to think about. I wanted us to think about the question. Reading is listening. When we read the Word of God, we are listening. We are listening to God. We are listening to His message. If we are not reading the Word of God, we are not listening to God. We are not listening to what He has said. We are not listening to what He would say to us if we are not reading the Bible. And Jesus' question becomes one of paramount importance to all of us. How are you reading? Is another way of saying, how are you listening? Jesus said that the wise builder was the individual who heard or read the words of God and put them into practice. It's not enough just to be reading. We must also be doing what it says. And the wise builder is the individual who is not only reading it, coming to an understanding of it, but he's putting it into practice. Christianity is different from the Eastern religions. The Eastern religions are all about man in search of God. Christianity is God revealing himself to man. And he does that through what he's spoken. He does that through what he has said. He does that for us through Scripture. Because in Scripture, he has revealed himself to us. What he would have us to know and what he would have us to be doing. So it's imperative that we be reading and that we be reading the Scriptures. It's as the Apostle Paul said, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So the question is one all of us need to consider. How are you reading? And what I would like for us to do this morning is very quickly to look at four readers of God's Word. And the story that unfolds in connection with each of them, will we gain understanding of how it is we need to be reading and how it is we ought not to be in regard to reading. And the first individual is Josiah. Nathan talked about him a few weeks ago at Anniversary Sunday. And his story is one that is familiar to very many of us, maybe to most of us or all of us. And we read about his story in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. Josiah becomes king when he's 8 years old. In the 18th year of his reign, when he's 26 years old, Josiah and those that are in his kingdom are in the process of restoring the temple of God. And Josiah sends one of his servants to the temple with funds in order to fund the continuing work of rebuilding and restoring the temple of God. When the man comes to the temple, the priest of the temple gives him a book that he has found. The book that he has found is the book of the law, the book of God's instruction to the children of Israel. It may have been all of the books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, or it may have been simply the book of Deuteronomy. But he gave the book to Josiah's servant. The servant read it and then brought it back to Josiah and read it to Josiah. Verse 11 gives us the reaction of Josiah to the reading, to what he had heard. And every time I read this verse, I am amazed at what could have been instead of what is, at what would have happened to so many other kings and individuals. That was not the case with Josiah. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 11, when the words were read to Josiah, the Bible tells us this: when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes, not in anger, not in frustration, not in a desire to make sure that the book is never read again, but he tore his clothes in shame and in repentance. And he will even go on and describe for us exactly his mindset that happened. Look at verse 13. Read it with me. Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written in it concerning us. They found a book that was old. They found a book that had been lost, but that had been written hundreds of years ago. And instead of reacting to this book as if he had found some great historical find that would be of great benefit, historically speaking, to the children of Israel, and rejoicing that such a historical book had been found and that we need to take every means necessary in order to preserve this book, in order to protect it, in order to make sure that it's not lost again, that wasn't his reaction at all. But that would have been the reaction of many, and we would have considered it a good reaction honoring the find of this historical book. But we would not have looked at it good from the standpoint of Jesus' question. But neither does he say, this book is not important. This book is for a bygone generation. This book was written hundreds of years ago, and the time no longer exists. And the need for this book is no longer with us. And the contents of this book no longer matter to us. That wasn't his reaction either. But his reaction was that he tore his clothes and he says, great is God's wrath against us because our fathers haven't followed it and neither are we. We are not listening to the words of this book. And that's the way Josiah read this book. So the Bible will tell us that after reading of the book, he calls together all of the nation of Israel. And he reads the book to them. Then after the reading of all of the book to the children of Israel and to the entire nation, he then involves himself and all of the nation into an oath that we will do exactly what this book says. We will follow it and we will go back to doing things exactly as God described them to be done in this book. And that's exactly what Josiah does. And we have the great reform of Josiah because of the way he read the book, because of the way he listened to it and his attitude toward it. Then there's another. His name is Ezra. There is one verse in the book of Ezra that gives us the description of the way Ezra read the book, the way he read Scripture. And that one verse is Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And it reads this way. For Ezra had set his heart. He made up his mind. He determined. He set his mind and he set his heart. If you're going to read the Word of God, you've got to set your mind to doing it. Setting your mind to doing it means you make it a priority. It means that you set aside the time every day to do it. You set aside the time and you give that time priority. An individual who comes to the end of the day and says, oh, I didn't have time to read it today, has not set his mind to reading it. An individual who has good intentions of reading it, but gets so busy during the day they never get around to doing it, has not set their mind to reading it. But I want you to notice that not only did Ezra set his mind, he did more than set his mind just to read. The Bible says that Ezra set his heart, his mind, to study. Not just to read it, but to study it. To come to an understanding of what it was all about. To come to an understanding of exactly what it meant. And because he set his heart and his mind to study, he didn't come to a point and then say, oh, I can't understand this, and then just dismiss the book. Because the book is from God. And it must be understood and comprehended. And it must be understood and comprehended in regard to the way that God wrote it. And so Ezra, knowing that, set his heart and his mind to study the law of the Lord and to practice it. He didn't set his mind just to come to a knowledge of it and an understanding of it. He set his mind to know it and then to do it. He set his mind to practice it in his life and to be and to become exactly what God would have him to be. He set his mind to practice it and then to teach it, to teach his statutes and its ordinances in Israel, to teach them to his children, to teach them to his family, to teach them to his neighbor, to teach them to his friends, to teach them to his nation. This is how he read it. How do you and I read it? When Ezra read it, this is what he did. He set his heart to study it, to do it, to teach it. And he was a very successful man with regard to the Word of God. Another reader. His name is Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim we read about in the book of Jeremiah chapter 36. And what we learn first and foremost with regard to Jehoiakim in the very first verse of chapter 36 is that this is Josiah's son. And we may have a great deal of expectation for Josiah's son. And this is one of them. This is Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. The reason Jeremiah chapter 36 comes about is this. It is in the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign. And in the fourth year of his reign, God comes to Jeremiah and God says to Jeremiah, write down in a book all of the things that I have been telling you that I am going to do to Israel because of their unfaithfulness to me. I want you to write them all down in a book. And he tells Jeremiah to do that in the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign. So Jeremiah calls in his scribe, the man who is his secretary, who writes down all of the things that Jeremiah says for him to write down. He calls in Barak and he has him to write down all of the words that God has given to Jeremiah. In the ninth month of the 35th year, it's finished. What has been written is the book of Jeremiah. What we have in our hands is the book of Jeremiah, is the book that had been written by Barak when Jeremiah told him the things that God had said to him. And he does that, and it comes to its completion in the ninth month of the 35th year. So it took at least 9 months in order for this to be done. At the end of that time, when it was finished, Jeremiah tells Barak, go to the temple and read the passage in the temple in the hearing of all the people. So he comes to a room and he goes to a window in that room, evidently one that would overlook the temple area, and he begins to read. And as he reads, some of the officials of the temple hear what he's reading. And they go get him and bring him to a room where all of the officials of the temple are gathered in a meeting. And there they tell Barak to read the words of Jeremiah to them, and all of the words are read. When all of the words are read, the officials will turn to Barak and they will say to him, go get Jeremiah, and the two of you go hide so that no one will be able to find you. And we will take this book and we will take it to the king. So they brought the book to Josiah's son, Jehoiakim. It's wintertime, and he's in his room, and he has a fire pot that is in front of him so that he can keep warm. And the book begins to be read to the king, Jehoiakim. And the Bible tells us that when three or four columns are read, he takes his penknife and he cuts them out and he puts them in the fire. And another three or four columns are read and he cuts them out and he puts them in the fire. And he burns them three or four columns at a time until every word that had been written by Barak that Jeremiah had heard from God is burned in the fire. The whole time, the officials who have brought the book, describing to him, pleading with him not to burn the book. You know, that is what bothers us about Jehoiakim, that he burned it, that he burned the book. And we raise the question, did he think he was getting rid of it? Did he think he was destroying God's word by burning it? What if he had not burned it? What if he had stopped and said, I don't have time for this today. Let me call you when I have some time when I can listen to the book, but I don't have time for it today. And refused to allow it to be read until he found time to listen to it. Suppose that's what he had done. How different would that have been from burning it? Suppose what he had done was to close it up and say, put this away from me and don't ever bring it back. Suppose all he did was close it and pay no attention to it and not read it. How would that have been different than burning it? Suppose he had listened to every word and when it was all finished said, well, thank you very much. That was interesting. See you guys later. And totally dismissed every word that was said, even after he had listened to it. How would that have been different than burning it? It would not have been different at all. He had no interest in the Word of God. He had no interest at all in what it said. As a matter of fact, verse 24 describes exactly what he did and his attitude toward the words that God had written. And we see the striking comparison and the difference between his reaction and the reaction of his father when he read it. Look at verse 24 of Jeremiah 36. Yet the king and all his servants who heard all these words were not afraid, nor did they rend their garments. They heard the word of God, and it didn't bother them one bit to dismiss it. It didn't bother him one minute to close his book. It didn't bother him one bit to say, well, thank you for the reading, but have no intention whatsoever of it having any impact on his life. It didn't bother him one bit to burn every page that had been written, because he had no regard for God, no regard for his words, and no regard for what he had heard. That is the reading of Jehoiakim. The last one, the Bereans. This is where Paul went after the preaching in Thessalonica had gotten so bitter that they were trying to kill him. So he comes to Berea. And the words describing the Bereans are these. Now these, the Bereans, were more noble-minded. The idea of noble-minded is the idea you would expect from the noble. Those of the king, those of the judges, who would be recognized as right and just judges. Their thinking is correct and their thinking is fair, and they are open and honest to what it is that they're listening to and what it is that they're reading. And these are more noble-minded than the ones in Thessalonica, because they shut their ears and they didn't want to hear, and they would not change what they thought. But I also see something else in these words, and I don't know if it's actually there or not, but whenever I read these words, I think about them from the standpoint these were noble-minded. These were those who would have the mind of the king. And I think about the kingdom of heaven. And there is no doubt that this attitude of mind, this noble-mindedness, is the attitude that is expected of those in the kingdom of heaven. And these individuals are exhibiting the mindset of those in the kingdom of heaven, or those who would come to the kingdom of heaven, when they are listening to what the king has said and what the king has written. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why were they that way? What did they do to cause that description to come to them? And the Bible tells us, for they received the word of God with great eagerness. They received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They received the word with great eagerness, but also they received the word critically. Is this exactly what Scripture says? And they went to the Scriptures to see if these things are in keeping with what Scripture actually says. So they heard the words. They heard them carefully. And they heard them critically. Not meaning that they criticized them, but meaning that they examined them to see, is this really in keeping with what Scripture said? And when they discovered it was, and the Bible says, therefore, many of them believed, they came to the kingdom. Those who had the mindset of those who would be part of the kingdom. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. They believed the Scriptures, and they obeyed it, and they came to the kingdom of God. So Jesus raises a question, and it's an important question. And because he raises it in Scripture, he raises it to us. How are you reading? How are you reading Scripture? How do you read it? And the answer is absolutely imperative, that we read the Scripture like Josiah, and like Ezra, like the Bereans, but never allow us to ignore it like Jehoiakim. Because this is God talking to us. This is God speaking to us. This is God telling us who we are, what we're about, who he is, what he's about, and what he wants us to do. And if we are his people and we long to serve him, we read, we listen, and we set our heart and mind to come to know it and to come to live it and to come to follow it. How have you been reading? Are you ready to come into Christ?